Cape Talk, health and wellness.
Well, as I've just mentioned, we're talking cystic fibrosis today. It's a genetic disorder affecting a number of organs in the body, and it's one which can have really severe and sometimes life-limiting symptoms. The good news is that internationally there have been quite significant steps forward in terms of improving quality of life and prolonging life expectancy for people living with this condition. The not so good news is that here in South Africa it really just doesn't get enough time in the spotlight. It struggles a bit for recognition and consequently for allocation of resources for advocacy and treatment, which is why I'm really delighted to have in studio with us somebody who is at the forefront of that advocacy. Dr. Marco Zampoli is a senior specialist in the Division of Pediatric Pulmonology at the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital and UCT, and he heads up the Cystic Fibrosis Clinic at Red Cross. He's also currently the chair of the South African Cystic Fibrosis Medical and Scientific Advisory Committee. Lots of job titles, but it makes him an expert in this condition. Marco, great to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you, Pippa, and thank you for the opportunity to chat about cystic fibrosis.
We have to start with the question of what it is, because I think most people have a vague idea, but they don't really know what it's all about, Marco. What does it look like?
So cystic fibrosis, as you said in your introduction, is a hereditary condition. In other words, it's passed along from parents to children. It runs in families, and so people affected by it are born with cystic fibrosis. The basic problem really is at a molecular level. It's a defective protein that our body makes. And this little protein is important in our body, and because its job is to finally to control the water and salt balance in all our organs, in our cells. And this is especially important in our lungs and our digestive tract. So when you have this defective protein which has been inherited, what it results in is very sticky mucus, especially the linings of our internal organs. And so the lungs and the digestive tract are most severely affected. And that is essentially what the basic problem with CF is. You have to inherit the DNA. We all have DNA, which characterizes who we are, what we are, including diseases. And CF has a particular little marked by piece of DNA that we inherit. And you need two copies, one from your mom, one from your dad, to be affected.
Okay, so it is, as always, the genetic lottery at play. How commonly does that happen, that both parents are carriers of that marker and the child inherits it from birth?
So it's interesting. It's surprisingly quite a common gene that is in the population. And it depends on your genetic background and where your ancestry. So in South Africa, the data that we have, so people who have of European descent, about 1 in 25 to 30 adults carry the gene.
That many? Okay.
In people of mixed race, it's estimated about 1 in 60. Mm-hmm. And in black Africans, although we'd have very little information, but it's estimated, I'd say guesstimated, about 1 in 90. So if you do the calculations, about 1 in 3,000 to 10,000 babies will be born with CF, depending on your background.
Now, if they're born with CF, is it always immediately obvious, or is this something that might only be diagnosed much later in life or even not at all?
So that's an interesting question, because CF is a very, despite we know the precise DNA, it manifests, there's a very wide spectrum of how the illness manifests. The most severe forms will often present very early in life, sometimes at birth with a baby who can't pass their first poo. Mm-hmm. And within days you can recognize the problem. In most infants, it's usually within the first year of life. And they usually, it manifests with a baby who fails to gain weight properly, has a lot of digestive problems. And the other major way of manifesting was frequent chest infections. But Pippa, there are adults still today, young adults and people who are only being diagnosed as teenagers or young adults, who may have a milder form of the disease. So it's still, we're still seeing adults who are being diagnosed very late in life with CF.
Now, is that, okay, so partly because the symptoms are milder than a severe case, but is it misdiagnosed as something else? For example, I mean, we know the lung effects. Would that perhaps be written off as asthma or as some other condition if it's not properly diagnosed?
Yes, that is unfortunately the case in many situations. So there are many other conditions like asthma, or bad bronchitis, or TB, tuberculosis, it's quite difficult to, those are much more common. So understandably, cystic fibrosis is not the first thing a doctor looks for. But any child or person who has very frequent chest infections or bad bronchitis that doesn't respond to usual therapy, or asthma that is not responding to usual therapy, should alert the doctor or nurse or some or the family that perhaps there's something else
going on there.
And often that is how they eventually get to me.
Okay. A question on the WhatsApp line. How long do patients with cystic fibrosis live? It must depend on how severe the case is, I assume.
That's correct. Yeah. And that's, you know, if you look at global statistics, in South Africa, we unfortunately don't have very accurate data. But if you look at global statistics, where the life expectancy of CF used to be considered a disease which was universally fatal in childhood. I'm talking 50 years ago. That has dramatically changed.
Yeah.
A child born with CF today can expect to live a normal, close to normal longevity. It's not health. It may not be healthy living all the time. It has challenges, but the life expectancy internationally has now doubled in the last 20 years, and that's due to very effective treatment that we have and understanding CF is one of the most research studied genetic conditions worldwide.
That's good news.
So that is good news. The bad news is, unfortunately, there still is not a cure.
Yeah.
But I predict that somewhere down to come, if there is ever going to be a cure for a genetic disease, it will be cystic fibrosis.
Is that because so much money is being spent on looking
precisely,
for it?
Precisely. Okay.
That's interesting. Now, fascinating. Two people have asked the same question here, and I'm intrigued to know the answer. They're asking why cystic fibrosis patients are kept apart, or in the one person's terminology, why is one CF patient dangerous to another? Can you explain?
So, yes, and that's an important question. And one of the major problem that people with CF have is lung infections. Mm. And not usual colds and flus. They get unusual types of lung infections, which are easily passed from one person to another. So close contact with another person who might carry an unusual or dangerous kind of germ, they'll pass it on easily to someone else with CF. People without CF don't get affected by these germs, but an individual with CF is much more susceptible. And so it's a means to prevent cross-infection between people. And so socializing amongst you, it's one of the downsides.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It's a tough one. And it's something that's definitely, you know, that's a no-no. Is trying to keep cross-infection under control.
I mean, I can't help thinking for, say, a teenager living with CF, that the thought of being able to reach out to another teenager going through it, facing the same treatment regime, etc., must be, in terms of support and emotional support, would be so valuable. I guess you can do it by Skype is the alternative.
Yeah, so, I mean, in you know, the old-fashioned way of doing camps and support groups is not probably not suitable for CF, but with social media these days, people stay in touch, can communicate just as effectively without having physical contact.
Fascinating. Mark, I'm going to ask you to pop the headphones on because we've got a question that's come through as a voice note, which I'd like you to be able to hear clearly. Let's take a listen to that.
Hi there, Pippa, and could you please ask your guest whether cystic fibrosis is linked medically in any way to pulmonary fibrosis? This is Roslyn. Thanks.
Thanks, Roslyn.
The answer is no. Okay. Pulmonary fibrosis is a completely different lung condition, which affects mostly adults, and it's in simple terms, it means severe scarring in the lungs, and they're totally separate things. The word cystic fibrosis comes from one of the organs that's most severely affected is the pancreas. Mm-hmm. So babies affected with CF are born without a pancreas, a functioning pancreas, essentially. Wow. And in the old, early days, when they recognized the disease and they examined the pancreas, it was all scarred and tissued and had cysts in it. And that's the name has just stuck.
Okay. Yeah. Now, when I think of a pancreas that's not functioning properly, I think of diabetes. Is there any link between cystic fibrosis and diabetes?
So the pancreas has two important functions. One is to produce digestive enzymes, in cystic fibrosis, that's the part that doesn't work. But the other important part is to produce hormones and insulin. And certainly people with cystic fibrosis and later in life with advancing years, quite a number, about 20% of them will eventually develop diabetes.
Gosh, okay, all the lifestyle management factors that you'd prescribe to prevent diabetes must be doubly important for a
patient. It is. It's a bit different in cystic fibrosis. Okay. The cause is, nutritionally, very rarely are they, unlike other forms of diabetes, people with CF are often quite thin and are not overweight. So it's slightly different, and nutritional, it's quite difficult to manage.
Nutritional management full stop is difficult, because one of the things you said was that thick buildup of mucus actually does interfere with the way the body is able to absorb nutrition from your food. Is that correct?
Yes, it's predominantly the lack of digestive enzymes produced by the pancreas. So one of the most important interventions that have revolutionized the treatment of CF was the artificial enzyme replacement therapy, and that is the enzyme that your body can't produce, you have to take in a tablet form, and that is with every meal for lifelong. So that's an important, but that is essential, because without it, the body won't absorb enough nutrients and won't gain weight.
Okay.
And poor nutrition is still today one of the most important bad signs for anyone with CF.
Okay.
The poorer your nutrition, the worse you will do overall. So it's something, a very important aspect in our day, in our care and management, is to maintain normal nutrition and growth.
Just for those who might have joined us late to the conversation, the voice you're hearing belongs to Dr. Marco Zampoli, who is a senior specialist in the Division of Pediatric Pulmonology at the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital and UCT, and actually heads up the CF clinic at Red Cross. There are lots of questions coming in, and one recurring theme is concern about this concept of who is a carrier and who might pass it on to a child. Firstly, can you find that out before you make the decision to have children?
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. Certainly, it's a common gene that most laboratories can test for. Although we say it runs in families, the reality is most children born with CF, if you look at both families, there's often you don't know or find anyone with
CF.
Interesting. So most people who are born with CF, it's the first time in that family. Mm-hmm. But certainly if there is a family or distant relative or history with CF and you are concerned, you can get you and your partner, if it can certainly be tested. Even if both are carriers, there are statistically the odds of having a child, the risk is much higher of having a child affected, born with CF.
But it's not a given.
It's not a given, no.
Okay, that's important to know. No. Thank you. Can a baby be tested for it in utero, asks another question.
You can. If there's a risk of a need to know if the fetus or the baby is affected through our routine amniocentesis or other tests, you can test for it.
Okay.
So it is available.
Would there be a reason to test for it? Would it make any difference in the way the pregnancy was handled?
That is a good question, because it's a personal
choice
of how you would only go for the testing if you had a clear if you knew what you're going to do with the information.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, there have been situations where parents have had multiple siblings affected.
Okay.
And, you know, the burden of caring for another child with CF, it's very variable. That's a very sensitive issue. And I think can only effectively be dealt with through professional counseling, the genetic counseling, and understanding the risks of knowing what to do with that information.
Yeah, absolutely. Hugely personal decision as well. A WhatsApp from somebody saying, our daughter has CF and was diagnosed last year. How do we fight to get this listed as a prescribed minimum benefit in SA? Medical aid costs are just unattainable for us.
So I'm very glad that question was asked.
Yeah.
For reasons that are not understood to me, when the prescribed minimum benefit, for those who don't know, prescribed minimum benefits, there's legislation where medical aids are legally bound to fund certain pre-existing conditions, like asthma, hypertension, cholesterol. There are hundreds of conditions. Cystic fibrosis somehow was excluded during those initial negotiations. And so many of the funding of through medical aids is very variable, and it's a battle, and I don't know the answer. I tell parents, I think this, we need to advocate and make representation at whenever this comes up for review to make sure that cystic fibrosis is included. It's a very expensive condition to treat, not only because it's lifelong, but the medications are exorbitantly expensive.
I mean, you've said that so much development has happened in the last 20 years, so we'll be talking about new drugs are always very expensive when they come to market, and over time, as the possibility of generics becomes available, hopefully that comes down. But in the new phase, it's always pricey. So without medical aid, does a CF patient slip through the cracks, or is the state hospital system well set up to support a family in that position?
So we are quite fortunate in South Africa that the basic medication, enzymes, antibiotics, nutritions are freely available at all major state hospitals and throughout the country. We have dedicated cystic fibrosis clinics in most of the major government hospitals. And treatment, if people can't afford treatment, is generally free. For those who have medical aid, they can usually access it through those means.
But not everyone does. I mean, Jolene's just tweeted again saying, our daughter diagnosed at 16 months, and our biggest challenge is the fact that it's not considered a PMB. Gaining access to some of the latest meds, we've had to add her to the highest tier of medical aid, and it's just not affordable.
Yes, yeah. So there are some medications which are beyond the scope, even from the state hospital, we can't afford. But most of the basic medications are freely available.
Okay, that's good to hear. We've got another question that's come in as a voice note. Let's take a listen to that.
Hi there, this is Sarah from Noordhoek. My brother is actually married to a woman who has cystic fibrosis, which was diagnosed quite early on. Her mother had it and her brother had it as well, unfortunately. He was tested to make sure that he wasn't a carrier, and they have two very healthy twin girls who are about 9 or 10 years old. Yes, it is very much something that she manages on a day-by-day basis, but they have a good life together.
Sarah, thanks. It's very reassuring there to hear the story, so that it's not a given that the gene will be passed on again coming through.
No, not
message.
At all. Yeah. And I'm very grateful for that call, and because I think this is the message we want to send out. Cystic fibrosis is a condition that people live with. And we encourage, there's a lot of doom and gloom. When people are first diagnosed with it, they go onto the internet, and there's a lot of frightening things they see. But I think it's important to focus, as in the case here, where the woman she's had two children, she's leading a normal life, and that is what our goal and objective.
Well, let me just share with you a message that's come in on our WhatsApp line, sending a shout out to Dr. Zampoli, saying he helped us so much with our daughter Raina after diagnosis at age 16 months, and she turns 3 this October. Good luck, and thanks for taking the time to send that. Another question asking, what happens if CF is left untreated? As you've mentioned, if it's misdiagnosed or missed entirely, what is the outcome?
That unfortunate situation is one we try to, avoid. The purpose of chatting today is try to avoid. The sad truth is the later in life CF is diagnosed, the more time has passed for the disease to cause permanent scarring and damage to the body, especially the lungs. And once that you've had scarring the lungs, that's irreversible. And without treatment, it's very predictable what happens, and lungs slowly scar more and more. And over time, people, you know, you run out of breath, literally. Mm. So the goal of our treatment is to intervene early and prevent that predictable decline and try and preserve as much healthy lung as possible. So the sooner you intervene, the better. In many parts of the world, mostly the richer countries, cystic fibrosis is routinely screened for in all newborn babies as a part of a panel. And so, about the vast majority now of children in North America, Western Europe, are diagnosed at birth through just routine picked up. We don't have newborn screening in South Africa yet. It would be good to have in future. It's logistically a very huge task, very expensive. And at the moment, to be with all our competing health, public health resources, it's difficult to put that at the front. But certainly it's ideal. That's what we're certainly aiming for in the future.
And let's hope we get there one day, and I look forward to that conversation taking place. Dr. Marco Zampoli, thank you so much for joining us today. And
it's a pleasure.
Doing a great job of just enlightening everybody about what to look out for, and hopefully spread the word, everybody, so that those diagnoses aren't missed and we don't have to have that conversation about what happens. Love you to have you with us.
Thank you. Very much.